praise God for being in the house of the Lord just one more time. Everybody glad for being in the house of the Lord just one more time. I thank God for life, for health and strength. I thank God. On Friday, I celebrated my 62nd birthday. And I thank God for that. I'm in the house, you know. I'm among the living. Praise God. And I truly thank God for that, for being able to say that I made it. I'm a full senior citizen now. You know, when you're in your 50s, they say you're a senior citizen, but not until you're 62, you're there. You're a senior citizen. I can reap all those benefits that they changed at the age of 50 you used to get, and now they pushed them back to 60. So now okay. Now I have to wait a little bit longer then. Praise God. And I just want to come before you. First of all, I'm going into a word of prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come before your holy throne of grace, thanking you for another day that you made. We thank you, Lord God, for all of your loving kindness and the multitudes of your tender mercies. Lord, I ask you to put self aside. You step in, Lord God. Let me be a vessel of honor unto you. And do the work that you've called me out to do. Say the words that you want me to say. Let it resonate in someone's spirit, that as they leave here today, Lord, they will go with a burning desire to want to do the will that you've called them out to do. I ask you, Lord God, this and many other blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about today. I'm going into the book of St. John, the 17th chapter, first to the fourth verse. I kind of wrestled back and forth, and Pastor Maurice, he always asked, be ready. He said, be ready. I said, I'm always ready. You know, like that. The Lord always dropped just different things into my spirit, and I just write them down. No, St. John, 17th chapter, first to the fourth verse. So I had this topic that I was going to speak on, and not until yesterday morning, the Lord dropped something else into my spirit. I said, oh, Lord, don't do that to me. I got to go back and do all this studying. But you know something? That's what the Word tells us to do anyway. You know, so I got up this morning. I said, I got to take a nap because my head was hurting, and I set my clock to get up about 12 so that I can go back and go over what God had given me, all these notes, and I was able to just write it out because it was all over the place. I had like 3 different notebooks, and it was all over the place, but I thank God for what he has given to me, and I praise God for it. So I'm going to try to, you know, just put it before you. And when we marry, and love is good, when we marry, the bride is asked to do 4 things. Have something borrowed, something new, something blue, and something old. Okay, well, blue I don't have, but borrowed, I mean something old, I may have just a little touch of something old. But I got something new that I want to share with you. And it starts out with St. John, 17th chapter. I find it myself. 17th chapter. And it said, these words Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes in heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given thee him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. My topic is finishing what you started. Before your parents met, even before your grandparents met, there was a blueprint of your life that was sitting in storage. The day you were conceived, that plan was activated. Jeremiah 1:5 said, and this is the kicker, he said, before I was formed in the womb, I knew you. Before. So there was already a plan and design for you. Before you were born, I said, set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to all nations. So in the beginning, we know that God already had you in mind, before your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-parents were even born, you already had a design. You already had a blueprint. But the day you was conceived shook something up. It activated that blueprint for your life. There's a timeline that was set. Your parents had a vision for your life and beginning to set the vision in motion. Now, I know when I was a child, there were seven of us, and that was quite a long time ago. And the main things that we received as gifts was baby dolls and tea sets. Baby dolls and tea sets. So that pattern was set for us to be wives and mothers, because that was put before us. Men usually got cars and a little toy guns to play cops and robbers. Not that they were set to be a robber, but maybe a police officer. So we're going to go positive with that, you know. But this is what they were given, you know, or marbles, you know. And these are things were given to them, you know, as we grew up. And the parents were designing or creating some type of direction for us to go through. But as we get older in life, the baby doll stop, the tea set stop. So they start with the clothes and they give you a little bit of money because they didn't know which way to go with you. Some parents had no vision. Their vision is get a job, but when you're 18, you're out of here. That was their vision for their life. There were some that had a vision that I want you to be a doctor or a lawyer. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be an accountant. It's going to lead to a little small story. There was a woman. Her vision was she wanted to be an accountant. And she went to, got her way through school. Started on her way in college, went into the accounting field. She wanted to be an accountant. In that first year of going through school, she took an illness. The illness she took that she had, it caused her to go through surgery after surgery after surgery in the hospital for an additional 5 years. But during that time frame that she was in and out of the hospital, weight no more than 60 pounds, tube fed constantly because they couldn't get the weight up, just going through a lot of series of things. She was told by doctors, you will never have kids. Dad said, you'll never get married. Social Security came in and said, you are totally disabled. This was her life. And she thought to herself, not so. This is not going to happen. But later on down the road, way down the road, talking about 60 years old, she thought and she asked God. There was one time she almost died on the operating table. And she said, God, how come I didn't die? He said, because you didn't know me. You didn't receive or hear about salvation, or you didn't understand about salvation. So you didn't know me. And you can't leave this earth until you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I stand before you today because that woman is me. Glory, hallelujah. I stand before you. 5 kids. Hallelujah. Was married. Hallelujah. So I stand before you today to say God is real. He's able to do exceedingly and above anything that we can imagine, think, or he can do it. Man says things, but God got the ultimate word. And his word do not return void. Glory, hallelujah. Like I was saying, some parents have a vision. I want you to go to college. I want. But when the child get older, they start making plans for themselves. They start making plans. I want to be this. I want to be that teacher. I want to be that accountant. And see, that's what was missing in my life because I want to be that accountant. So after a while, I went back to school. Still didn't finish because of the kids and moving around with my now ex-husband in the military. So I never finished. But I said, Lord, I want to work every phase of accounting before I die. I've done accounts payable, accounts receivable, inventory, payroll. I've done it. And now I'm in taxes. I've done every phase of accounting, and I'm 62. I asked God for that, and I said, without the degree. That was the kicker. I asked for it. I said, this was my heart desire. And the Lord said that he would give you your heart's desire, and he did just that. But these are, you know, some of the examples. Like I said, some things very important was left out, and that important thing was God. But in his time, he has a plan for you. Jeremiah said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thought of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." So what is your expected end? My knight in shiny armor are going to come and take me away. We're going to live happily ever after. The end. I would win the lottery. The end. Okay. Or I would be that accountant. Find my dream job. Get married. Have 2.5 kids. And I always wonder, how you have a half a kid? And I said, the dog or the cat. That's the half. Because they never grow up. But God has a greater plan for you. Then go to Psalms 22 and 10. Psalms 22 and 10 says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. So you know that God is always in the plan, whether you know it or not. He's there. He has always been there, even in your mother's belly. Now, moving on to St. John's 3:16. This is where the love comes from. That's the master print for our lives. For God so loved the world, when you don't invite him or consult him or wait on an answer about a husband, job, college, career, he's not in your plan. But he has a master plan because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the son that he gave had a plan, and his plan was for us to have eternal life. Abraham, which God chose, he told him, I'm going to multiply your seed. And he told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And Abraham, being obedient, taking him for the sacrifice. But see, Abraham had another son named Ishmael. So it still could have been accomplished. But Abraham, being obedient, I'm doing exactly what God tell me to do. I just said, I see the altar, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? He didn't know he was going to be it. But God had a ram in the bush, just like in our lives. There's always a ram in the bush for us. I was thinking about a couple of songs, and a lot of songs came to my mind. I even went and pulled out some of the old school love songs, and I pulled out Al Green, just clicked on Al Green and he's and what song that caught my mind was the song that he had all these questions. It was called "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? How Can You Stop the Sun from Shining? How, what makes the world go round?" There's nobody can answer that but Jesus. Hallelujah. But I listened to his song and I said, he asking the questions, but he didn't have an answer throughout that entire song. He did not have an answer. Only thing he did was have questions about how could he mend a broken heart? But that's only one way. It's just turn their heart over to Jesus. Turn your life over to him, because there's a song that said, turn it over to him and he'll work it out. He will work it all out. So I went back and I got up this morning, and that's another song that came to my heart. And I said, let me get the words to that song. This is our dear sister, I'm going to call her sister, Whitney Houston. This song, I Look to You. And, she said, as I lay me down, heaven, hear me now. I'm lost without a cause after I've given all my all. Winter storms have come and darkened the sun. You look at the wrong one. And all that I've been through, who on earth can I look to? In the wrong direction. She said, I look to you, but she know that she has to look to the only source that can actually help her, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But she wrote the song. She sung the song beautiful, but she didn't seem to miss that very important thing, because you started out, but you didn't finish what you started. You started out in the church, singing the gospel, singing holy songs to the Lord, but fame got a hold of you and took control. And when fame takes control, you step out of the will of God, you start getting into those stumbling block areas. And when the stumbling blocks come, and they come for a reason, they come so you can trip and fall. But my God said, I'm going to catch you before you fall. Because the word says, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence. That's what the word say. So before you fall, he got you. Because he's going to keep you from falling. So if a stumbling block come before you, but you got to stay in his will. You got to stay in his presence. You got to stay before him, or you are going to fall. But when you fall, God got another plan. And the world have a plan for those that fail, for dropouts. A dropout person is a person that they decide they don't want to go back to school. They want to drop out. They want to drop out of society for some known reason. But there's a plan on the natural sense for a person that drops out. It's called a GED. That's General Education Development. But God also have a GED for you. That GED is for you to get yourself right with him, and it's his God's eternal design. And he's got that available for you so you can complete your assignment in him. The purpose was to give man what he could not get, that eternal life. Man can work. He can do everything. He can exercise. He can be the most powerful, the richest, the poorest, the smartest. But in the end, you got a choice, one way or the other. Which way are you going to go? You can't buy it. Eternal life is a free gift, and it comes from God. Today, we need to start what we and finish what we start. By how? By completing your assignments and that our Heavenly Father has given to us. It's time to prepare for your GED certificate, God Eternal Design. It's time to start passing the test that has been placed in your way as a stumbling block. How? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praying. That's your communication with God. And being a doer of his word. Because we can't just be a hearer, but we have to be a doer. And that when we say being a doer, yeah, yes, I'm not talking about ushering, greeting. I'm not talking about being a part of a hospitality committee. I'm talking about doing the work that God has called us out to do. He said for us to visit the sick, feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, and help the strangers. Matthew's, I'm going to take you to Matthew's 25th chapter. Bear with me. It said, and I'm starting with the 31st verse, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels in him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goat on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? What was his answer? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it so to me. This is God's plan. You know, it's good. be in the church and do the church work. But there's a greater need that's out there that we should be doing. And Jesus just made it plain as day right there, feeding the hungry, helping the sick, visiting them. These are the things that God is looking for us to do, because in that day when we have to stand before him, there's a couple of things that we're going to receive. There's a crown that you're going to receive. There's a crown of righteousness that is laid up for us. And it said there's a white robe that we should have also. So when we get to that point in our lives that we see that stumbling block, we have stopped doing the things that God has required for us to do because of some things that have taken place in our lives. I didn't get that degree. I didn't get that job. But when we take our eyes off God, we have to go back and understand that you didn't get it because it wasn't your time. Because the master print has already been designed. Your time is going to come eventually. But today, that day, was not the time for you to get that plan. You're going to receive your certificate for what you've done. You're going to receive your crown. You're going to receive your robe. And your certificate is going to say, God's eternal design. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Fight the good fight. This is in recognition that you have fought the good fight. And you have kept the faith in Jesus' name. Okay. And I'm done.